Rum, bum, 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 bum. La da da. Really? We're going to start by complaining about the video. That's how we're starting today. Anybody's having any trouble with the audio or video, just restart. Do that. But while you're restarting, those of you who might want to enjoy the simultaneous sip, all you need is a cup or a mug or a glass of tankard, chalice, stein, a canteen, jug, a flask, a vessel of any kind. Fill it with your favorite liquid. I like coffee. And join me now for the unparalleled pleasure of the dopamine of the day, the thing that makes everything better. It's called the simultaneous sip, and wow, it's so good. Now. Much better. All right. So restart your engines if you have any problem. If you are subscribing to the Dilbert Reborn comic, which you can only get on the X platform, just the comic, plus the daily digital calendar, or on the Locals platform where you get the Dilbert comic and Dilbert calendar and Robots Read News comic, my subversive, extra provocative comic, and a whole bunch more. If you were subscribing, you would know that the pointy haired boss's secretary, or assistant, if we like to say, is booking the boss into an Oakland hotel, even though the boss is going to San Francisco. Why? Because there's a greater chance he'll be murdered in Oakland. So you can watch the boss's assistant try to murder him by booking him into an Oakland hotel. All right. Bloomberg's website traffic, apparently between 2022 and 2024, last 2 years, has fallen for about 24 million people to seven. 24 million to seven? Bloomberg? Let me just put another nail in Bloomberg's coffin. Bloomberg, I don't consider a legitimate news source. They sent a reporter to spend a day with me back in the first Trump election, for the sole purpose of destroying my reputation with an article that came up first and all the search results from that day after. Now, after a few years, it fell away. But it was the number one thing you would find if you heard something that you liked about me. It's like, hey, who's this guy talking about Trump and his persuasion? And then maybe you'd look up who I am, and the first thing you'd see is a hit piece from Bloomberg full of errors. But you wouldn't know it. I mean, I knew it, but they don't know it. So now, Bloomberg, I consider an illegitimate news source. And if they're going out of business, that's good news. Today, I was asked what I think when I look at Biden. Do I think he looks like a kindly older gentleman with good intentions? Or does he look like the face of evil? Let me ask you. When you look at Biden, now I know that you know who he is from his actions, but we're just judging from his face. If you never knew anything about him and you just walked around the corner and you saw him and you saw his face, would you say to yourself, there's a kindly gentleman who he's a little bit older, but I like how he, you know, his goodness comes through. I'll tell you, when I look at Biden, I see pure evil. His squinty eyes and his crooked smile, and his literally he's like, if you were going to make a movie and you wanted a character that was definitely evil, it would look just like that. Am I wrong? All right, now I want to ask you, how many of you are bad at reading faces? Do any of you think you're bad at reading faces? Because it's making me wonder if one of the differences between Democrats and Republicans is that Democrats can't read faces. Because if Democrats could read faces, they would see that half of them are literally batshit crazy. They have crazy eyes. You can't miss it. I was just looking at an interview on CNN between Caitlin Collins, their host, and I think it was Gretchen Whitmer. And you just look at them in the side by side. Caitlin Collins' eyes look like a smart, normal person who's just doing her job. No crazy. You know, you could disagree with her job or whatever, but I didn't say they're crazy. She looked like she was a total normal person doing a normal thing. And then right next to her on the screen is Gretchen Whitmer with her crazy eyes. How do you miss that? Like, do you not see that? You don't see that one of them, you know, they're both Democrats. So I picked people who are on the same team. So you can see it's not a team thing. There are people with crazy eyes. And it does tell you exactly what you think, that there's something going on in there that you should know about. So the good news is Caitlin Collins does not look crazy. So yeah, to me, Biden looks actually completely obviously evil. I can't even imagine anybody saw it any differently, but we're all different and subjective. So there's a more controversy on the birth control question, specifically the pill. And I guess Charlie Kirk said some things in a speech yesterday that maybe some Republicans think didn't help them as much as it could have. You may have destroyed the planet Earth. Do I mean that literally? Yes. Yes, I mean that literally, and I'll explain why. In fact, that will be part of my theme for today. Did Charlie Kirk just destroy the planet Earth? Probably not, but maybe. Here's what I mean. I'll give you the story on this and then give you the bigger picture. So Gavin Newsom was mocking Charlie Kirk's take on birth control, and he was quoting Charlie Kirk saying, quote, "Birth control really screws up female brains." This is Newsom mocking Charlie Kirk for saying this. "Every single one of you needs to make sure your loved ones are not on birth control." That's another quote. So Gavin Newsom is saying, basically, you know, look at this guy. Don't vote for him. Now, here's my take on abortion. As well-meaning and as well-argued as the pro-life people are, you know you're throwing away the entire fucking world for that one thing, right? Now, that one thing's really big in your mind and a lot of other people's mind. So I don't want to minimize it. But you know you're consciously destroying the world, right? Like the whole fucking world. Do you have any sense of what you're doing? Because if you want to ride the abortion train because it's moral and it's ethical and you feel really strongly about it, you know that destroys the whole world. Are you missing that connection? Because it's the abortion issue that allows Democrats to have the power that they have. You're basically handing the decision-making to the people with the crazy eyes because you got one thing that they can't get over. Now, again, I'm not arguing the point. I want to make sure you know this. I'm not arguing whether there should or should not be abortion. I'm completely out of the conversation. I believe I shouldn't be part of it at all. And I think that is your smart play. Your smart play is to say men should just get out of this, right? Now, are there reasons why men should be involved? Yes. Yes. There are all kinds of constitutional, moral, there are all kinds of reasons that men should be deeply involved in this question. Absolutely. And if you take that view, you will destroy the whole fucking world because you're doing it right now. That's what you're doing. But just be aware of it. I want you to know that if abortion is going to be your ride or die, that you're taking all of us with you. You're killing all of us. You're fucking killing us. Do you know why the border's open? Because of abortion, the topic, the argument, not the abortion itself. Do you know why there's crime in the city? Because of abortion, the topic, just, you know, the argument about it. Why do you know why everything. Basically, everything that you think is destroying the country is because you can't let go of abortion. Should you? I'm not going to make a moral argument. You've already made your decisions, but just know what you're doing. All right. So when Charlie Kirk goes full, you know, full religious argument on abortion, or about, in this case, birth control, which people conflate, he's putting the entire planet at risk. Because if you lose the Republicans, you lose all sense of control in the country. There's no that's too far. You know, I was making the case yesterday that Republicans have a gating thing about stupidity. The Republicans can't do really stupid things because they get called out. There are too many independent podcasters. You're Joe Rogan's, you're All In Podcasts, you're Elon Musk's, you know, you're Cernovich's. You're basically, if you do something that's just plain stupid and you're a Republican, you're going to get savaged by the smartest people in the game. I don't know why people are letting this thing go. So I figure I'll wade in and take the shot. So, you know, if you need to kill somebody, kill me. I'm already dead. At least reputationally, I can't get any worse. So let me say it as clearly as possible. If you want to fight for abortion and make that your deal, you're giving up everything and you're fucking killing me. Right? So here's what I think you need to understand. There is some kind of gigantic self-destructive theme in the Democrat Party, mostly the women. If you let them direct that self-destruction at their own children, that might take some of the pressure off of all the other things they want to destroy, but maybe don't know they're destroying it. I don't know. It's hard to know what they know. But I think you're going to have to negotiate like a real person, not like a person who lives in the magical world where you can get everything. Now, my understanding is that Trump is going to take a few days before he talks about a 6-week ban or something. There's some abortion question he's going to get back to. Trump is the only person who can fix this. Trump is the only person who can fix this. Because he's the only one who has the capability to not only convince Republicans to stop destroying the whole fucking planet, he's the only one who could do it. How many weeks? 15 weeks? I'm not following the topic. So, if you want to see the world get saved, what it would look like is Trump backing off on abortion. Not backing off on his personal opinion, but backing off it as a political topic. Can he do it? I don't think so. I don't think he can do it. I think it's actually even beyond Trump's ability politically, because I think he would lose too much support on his own side. But he would have to make the argument. He's the only person who can do it. There's not a single person in the public who has the juice to say, Republicans, I completely understand your point of view, but do you completely understand you're destroying the planet? There's no way around it. If you're going to fight to the death on abortion, you're going to die. And you're going to take all of us with you. Even if you're right, it has nothing to do with being right or moral or on the same side as God. Nothing to do with that. You're just going to kill us all if you can't release on that. So here's what I'm doing is modeling the point I made yesterday. That if you're Republican, it's harder to be stupid in 2024. This is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it would be hard to imagine anything stupider than what the Republicans are doing with abortion. Even if they're right. Again, I'll say that every five words. Even if they're right, even if they're morally, ethically, religiously, according to God, even if they're completely right about everything, it's stupid beyond any level I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen anything this stupid. And by the way, the reason that you're missing it is because you think it's the other side's fault. No, it's not the other side's fault. It's your fucking fault because you control the room. You control the room. When you walk in the room, you can make those people go crazy or you can make them say hi. Which one did you choose? Oh, I think I'll walk into the room and whip them into a frenzy of hatred against me. That's a choice. You didn't have to do it. Didn't have to do it. So instead, the crazy women and the Democrats are going to destroy the whole fucking world because you're just going to let them. You've decided that that's how you want the room to go. And you're going to die on principle and let your own fucking kids die too. Good job. So you see what I'm doing? I'm laying it on a little thick. I want to make it really hard for a Republican to be a dumb fucking idiot. And let me say this. If Trump comes out full on, abortion has to be banned, I'm going to say he's a fucking idiot. Right? I'm going to say it clearly and often. Yeah, well, you just threw away the election, so might as well find another country to live in because you're a fucking idiot if you don't fix this. He's the only one who can, and I believe he can't, actually. I think it's beyond his ability as well. I don't think anybody can fix it. I think you dug a hole too deep. So good job on that. And what the hell is wrong with Speaker Johnson? What the hell is wrong with that guy? How do you pick the guy who just says, yeah, let's give all our money away to Ukraine and Israel while we literally are running into a debt wall that's going to crush us all? How in the world do the Republicans let that guy have any power? Yeah, if things are going wrong, I think you need to look in the mirror, Republicans. Maybe look in the mirror. Maybe everything you're doing guarantees this result. If you want to guarantee this result, just keep doing what you're doing. That'll get you right here. So, anyway. New York Mayor Eric Adams is famously a Democrat, and he's citing the corrosiveness of TikTok when it comes to the women who are being punched in the face in New York City. Some are saying that the women getting punched in the face is a powerful signal that crime has gone too far. But you know what I say about all this punching in the face business? It's too on the nose. Too on the nose. No, I don't say that. It's just there's a nose involved. That's all. But do you think the Democrats are coming around to the idea that TikTok is destroying everything? Yeah. Yeah. I think Mayor Adams is in no relationship to me, but he's right about that. Well, Trump is embracing the bloodbath thing. So he's calling it the border bloodbath or the Biden border bloodbath. I think Biden border bloodbath is way better than Build Back Better. He promised us Build Back Better, but he gave us the Biden border bloodbath. It kind of works. It's kind of hard not to say once you hear it. That's always my test. Do you need to say it? I kind of needed to say it out loud a few times. But this was not the first idea. The first idea is instead of Biden border bloodbath, BBB, it was going to be the Biden border crisis. But that just didn't make a good acronym. Biden border crisis. Yeah. Bad acronym. So Trump is once again amplifying their persuasion mistake and embracing it and owning it. And it's totally working. Yeah, totally working.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
According to Just the News, that's a news site, 98% of Colorado voters voted by mail in the primary in March. 98% of all the people voted by mail in March. So Here's my question. And it looks like there'll be a record set for voting by mail this year as well. Doesn't that make the post office the election system? Doesn't it? So in the old way, you'd walk down and you'd vote in the office. So if you're going to say, describe the voting system, you'd say, well, you know, it starts with the voting precinct office, and then that vote gets put in a box, and, you know, then it goes somewhere. But if you start by voting at your house and you just put it in your mailbox, that's the election system. The post office is the election system because they have most of the control of the actual vote. And I'll ask this question. There might be an answer to this question. I just don't know what it is. What would stop the post office from throwing away ballots that come from a red zip code? How would you know? If you mailed in your ballot and your postal worker just said, nope, threw it away because it was a red precinct, how would you know? Would you? What is the mechanism for auditing that? Or more importantly, if in the course of collecting up all the mail-in ballots, here I'm going to speculate. If I were the post office and I knew that there'd be a zillion mail-in ballots and they all go to the same place, I would make sure that I had a special system just for mail-in ballots. Do you think that's true? Do you think there's like a special box or something that they put them all in because they know it's all going to the same place? So at some point, it probably gets sorted into one bin, don't you think? What is the control and video surveillance and chain of custody that's happening when the post office has a big old bin of mail ballots that are all going to one place? It's not registered mail. You're saying your mail-in ballots are registered mail? Every ballot is registered mail? Somebody's saying in the comments. I don't believe that. No, it's regular mail. All right. So California sends a ballot receipt. Are we talking about the same thing? The ballot receipt is when the election people get it. It's not when the post office gets it. The post office doesn't send you a receipt that says, yeah, you had some mail in that box and I picked it up, so you're good. No. You can send a registered mail. So somebody says you have the option of sending a Well, I don't think that happens, though. Yeah, I think it's just first class mail. So are you concerned that you don't know the answer to this question, and neither do I? I have no idea. I have no idea if the post office secures all those, or they just sit in a big bin and anybody wants to can throw out half of them. I don't know. Utah allows online tracking. But your online tracking, well, I guess that would tell you at least the election people got it. All right. So my point is, how do we know? Here's another comparison of Texas versus California. We like to compare our states. So California's got a deficit of $222 billion. That's a lot. $220 billion. That's just the deficit. And whereas Greg Abbott, governor of Texas, posted that Texas has a surplus in the billions of dollars and they'll devote much of it to cutting taxes. That's all I can do. I can only growl at the incompetence of my state. Wow. And we have, I'm pretty sure, much higher taxes than Texas. So we're not only wasting it, we're getting extra money to waste. Carol Roth points out, as others have, that by the end of this year, the biggest budget item will be interest on our debt. Okay. Yeah. Interest on the U.S. debt will be $1.6 trillion by the end of this year. So, doesn't that seem like we're just spending ourselves into oblivion? Seems very self-destructive. You know what would be useful for fixing that? More Republicans in office. Do you know what's keeping more Republicans from being in office? Abortion. All right. There's a study, John B. Holbein is talking about this. There's a study that somebody did that shows that employers will be less likely to respond to an application for employment if the applicant uses they/them pronouns. And as John says, there's clear evidence that employers discriminate against non-binary individuals. Is that what's happening? That, do you think that when people don't want to talk to the they/thems, it's because they're discriminating against non-binary? When I see a they and the them, I totally discriminate, but it has nothing to do with your sex or gender. You're just a pain in the ass and probably a narcissist. If you're a pain in the ass, a troublemaking narcissist, you just signaled it. Now, you might also be non-binary. I don't care about that. Why do I care about where you put your genitalia on your own time? As long as you don't do it in the conference room, why do I care? I can't. I'll bet there's not a single employer ever anywhere who actually cared about their employee being non-binary. I'll bet never. I'll bet it's only they cared about people being a pain in the ass. And when you signal you're they, them, you've automatically introduced a problem that non-binary people are not going to bring into the office. So does it have to do with being non-binary? Or does it have to do with recognizing that you might have a mental health problem or a narcissist or a troublemaker? It's just one more thing you can get sued for. So of course employers are discriminating against the they/thems. Of course they are, because they're rational. Well, the Apple Vision Pro virtual reality glasses, according to Rowan Chung, who's talking about that, it looks like they have this amazing thing now where you can make other people who are using the system appear as sort of floating perfect versions of themselves. So you could watch a TV show, this is one of the examples, and you could have your friends just sort of watching it with you. But they're the real people, and they're not AI. So they're somewhere else. But to you, it looks like they're in the room. And I saw a picture of it, and they looked photorealistic, because I think it's actually based on the camera or something. Although I don't know how Facebook, or it's FaceTime, somehow it's through a FaceTime. And I don't see how FaceTime can record your face when you have the glasses on. So I have a question there. But maybe it recorded you once and then just reproduces it. But it's very cool. So up to five people can watch and play together. I would think that this would be a gigantic move forward in reducing loneliness. Because if you can visit grandma for 45 minutes and, you know, play a game of Scrabble and catch up, and you were actually like a floating head in the room, I think grandma would feel like she had something like a human interaction. And that would feel completely different. So this could be a really big deal for loneliness. Google's got a new product, Notebook LM, where you can load fairly large files into it, and then you can query it like it's your assistant. So I tried it this morning. It seems to be free so far. I loaded the PDF of two of my books into it, and then I asked questions about the books, and sure enough, it can answer it. Now, I don't have an immediate use for it. This is still demo-ware. So far, Grandma isn't going to figure out VR. Yes, she is. She just puts on the glasses. Grandma just has to answer the phone. Put on the glasses, and when something that says ring, ring, just kids are calling. Yeah, grandma can figure that out. Anyway, it's called Notebook LM. And once again, I used AI. And when I was done, I said to myself, huh, That's a good demonstration of something that might be useful in the future, but not yet for a variety of reasons. It wouldn't take a Word file. So the very first thing I wanted to do was load in some Word files, you know, books. It's like, nope, it's got to be text or PDF. So I'm like, ah, really? You're the only AI that can't read a Word file? You can't read my Dilbert comic and read it? I can't. So it's always, every time you think you've got a product with AI, it's always the same. There's always something obvious that you would need it to do for it to actually be useful, and it won't do the obvious thing. It'll just do some cool things that you can demo to your friends. And that's about it. Have you heard anybody say that Alzheimer's is really type 3 diabetes? Because I guess the Mayo Clinic has settled on that. So the Mayo Clinic, you know, one of your standards for, you know, healthcare, is saying that Alzheimer, maybe we've misunderstood what it was all the time, and everything we were looking at treating was a symptom and not a cause, and that the cause might be our food supply. So it could be that our food supply and the way we eat it, and it's spiking our insulin and sugar and all that stuff being out of balance, might be the thing that's primarily causing Alzheimer's. Now, do you think the rate of Alzheimer's has gone up at about the same time that processed foods became popular? Feels like they both increased at the same time to me. Don't we have more Alzheimer's than ever? But it's a little bit hidden by the fact that we have more old people than ever. So if you have more old people, all things being equal, you got lots more of this. So, have you ever noticed that people who seem to be eating well, as in they're not having any diabetes risk, they seem to be sharper in old age? Has anybody ever noticed that? Have you noticed that after a certain age, I don't think you notice that at age 30 or 40, but after a certain age, the people who have clearly taken care of their diet, they seem more mentally alert. I mean, it's just anecdotal, but it seems like it to me. So I think Mayo Clinic might be on the right track with that stuff. Dr. Mark Hyman was on Chris Cuomo's show on News Nation, and he was talking about, yes, that's his last name. His last name is Hyman. Shut up. Can you get over it, please? That's his actual, stop it. Stop being so sophomoric. You're so juvenile. You're so juvenile. Anyway, Dr. Mark Hyman, he was the different body part. It's easy to get that confused. He was talking about the mysterious rise in cancer in young adults. And one of his hypotheses, now this is not based on a study, based on his work and hypothesis, that the immune system is playing a huge role and that inflammation in particular is associated with cancer. And so anything that would cause you more inflammation would give you more cancer. What is something that causes more inflammation? Food. Yeah, food causes inflammation, our current diet. So one of the possibilities is that our food is causing us to have more cancer, but that would not explain why in 2019 we saw the beginning of the spike, even before the pandemic. So there's some thinking that the spike happened before even the pandemic. But it was close enough to the pandemic that it could be related. And this doctor says that it could be the COVID causing long COVID. I know you don't believe in long COVID. We'll get to that. And he's saying that long COVID is basically inflammation. So that long COVID could be the inflammation that maybe you don't notice you have, and then you get cancer. So since we know inflammation seems to be strongly correlated to cancer, and there is plenty of evidence if you believe Google, because I Googled it and I asked, is long COVID basically inflammation? And the answer is yes. That long COVID, if it exists, And there's certainly some studies that say it's all imaginary. But if it exists, it's primarily an inflammation issue that lasts a long time. And inflammation is well correlated, apparently, to cancer. Now, let's address the elephant in the room. Is long COVID real? Well, I thought I'd catch up on it by Googling long COVID. And according to Google, it's very real. And there's all kinds of evidence, and all the right people say it's real and that it's affecting lots of people. You think all diseases are caused by the brain? Well, you came to the wrong podcast. So, and then, of course, other people would say, no, 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 it's the vaccinations themselves that are causing the cancer. It's so obvious. But then I Googled, does the vaccination cause inflammation? What do you think? Do you think Google said that the vaccination itself can cause inflammation? What is myocarditis? Is that inflammation? Actually, I don't know the answer to that. It is, right? Isn't myocarditis, it's inflammation. So yes, there's evidence that you can get inflammation from the vaccination. Somebody says no. I'm saying no. But what would cause the myocarditis? It's inflammation. No? How could I be wrong about that? All right, doctor says yes. Right? I know I have some doctors. I was waiting for the doctor. Yes, it's inflammation of the heart. Okay, good. So the shots cause inflammation. The not getting shots cause inflammation. And then the question is, do you think that the official answers on Google, let's see if you can guess this. Do you think the official answer on Google is that if you got the vaccination, on average, would it lower your risk of long COVID? In other words, is the medical community saying, not Scott, don't blame me, don't blame me. I'm telling you what the news is saying as of today. Don't blame me. The news is saying as of today, if you got your shots and your booster, you had much less chance of inflammation called long COVID. Do you believe that? I don't know how you'd believe anything. How would you believe any medical claim about the pandemic? I think choosing a favorite thing to believe about the pandemic, whether you believe the vaccinations are bad or you believe the long COVID is real, any one of those things can't be supported. In my view, there's no credible information about your medical situation. None. So to me, it's just guessing. Because the money distortion impact and the fact that we learned that even smart people don't know how to do studies, even smart people don't know how to read statistics. So I don't know what to think. But I would guess that between the food, the change of lifestyle, the loneliness that happened because of the pandemic, the vaccinations themselves in some cases certainly cause inflammation. And that would be admitted by the people in the business. They would say that some people do get inflammation. They admit that. And then the long COVID, if it's real, inflammation. So don't know what to believe. You want to hear another theory? Okay. Dr. Paul Saladino showed that Wi-Fi routers are giving off way more radiation than you think, and it would be enough to affect your health. As in cancer. And so I said to myself, I wonder when these mesh routers became a big thing. How many of you have mesh Wi-Fi systems where it's like several boxes, so you're always close to one? It's not like there's one in the central part. Like I have one sitting right next to my bed, and that was specifically what was recommended against. I sleep 5 feet away from my primary Wi-Fi node. I mean, it's literally, I can touch it with my hand. Well, I'll be moving that as soon as we're done. So step number one, get that the fuck out of my bedroom. Now, I don't know that it's dangerous. So, you know, I'm not a doctor, not a scientist. I can't tell you it's dangerous, but I'm not going to take the risk. So guess about what year these mesh routers came out? About the same time as the massive increase in cancer. Same time. So that's another suspect, right? Another. So at the same time that Wi-Fi, the mesh routers, became a really big thing, that's when cancer took off, especially in young people. But same time as the vaccinations, same time as the COVID, same time as the pandemic disruption, and the same time as our food supply is getting probably worse every day. And meanwhile, all of our sources of healthy food are being burned down because all of our food processing plants are somehow mysteriously having fires. So, yeah. What's that question? Yeah, lots of them burned down. So we got lots of candidates for whatever's causing the mortality. I don't know. There's children. Children got a record number of antidepressants. 500,000 kids got an antidepressant. I would think that depression is strongly correlated with every kind of disease, isn't it? Because I would think depression ruins your ability to fight off everything. It just lowers your whole, you know, bodily defenses. So if you've got that many kids running into depression, and if well, somebody Google that. Can somebody do a search while we're on here? Search for whether depression is indicated in extra mortality. Can somebody do that? Depression and excess mortality or cancer, any of that. It has to be, right? Like, that's so obvious you don't even need to search for it. Two ways. If you're not healthy, you could be depressed. That's correct. Okay. So imagine if it's the cell phone usage, especially heavy since the TikTok. I think TikTok's kind of a 2019 is when it took off. Oh, same time as all the cancers. Oh, same time as all the depression. So you've got, I think the reason it's so hard to tease out the excess mortality is that it's everything. That's my guess. The reason we can't identify the excess mortality cause is it's just everything. Too much depression, mostly from the phones, I think. Lack of play, lack of going outdoors because of the phones. Food supply is going in the toilet. The Wi-Fi mesh routers got put in. Basically everything. Just everything fell apart around 2019. Well, over in Great Britain, Ian Miles Chung is reporting that the British government is under pressure to use the big houses that mostly retired people have to house illegal immigrants, or let's call them asylum seekers. So that's not a thing yet, but the pressure is coming down and the conversation has turned to, you know, these old people have a lot of room in their house. Why can't that senior citizen take a few of these asylum seekers? Now, it hasn't happened yet, but I think it's obviously going to. You know, you're going to have a new roommate from Botswana or something pretty soon. All right. There's a Rupar of the day. A Rupar is named after somebody named Rupar, who has a habit of posting edited videos that look bad because they were edited. Here's another one. There's a clip going around of Trump saying that the illegal migrants are animals. But of course, they cut out the part where he was talking about a specific crime that was caused by specific people. So that's a Rupar, but of course, all the dumb people are posting that around. And wokeness reminds us that the voter registration with no ID, there's no way to interpret that except somebody intentionally trying to destroy the United States. Can we be serious? There is no other interpretation. That's somebody trying to destroy the country. Now, they may not be doing it intentionally. They may be so stupid or hypnotized or something, but there's no way this ends well, because in three key swing states, Arizona, Texas, and Pennsylvania, this is the number of voters who have been registered with no photo ID. no photo ID, which means you don't really know who they are. In Texas, just this year, which I remind you is only a few months, 1.3 million in Texas. 1.3 million. You think that could change the result of a major election? Yeah. Pennsylvania, over 500,000, and in Arizona, 220,000. Now, we also know that the Biden administration is flying people in by the hundreds of thousands to make it look like the immigration across the border isn't as bad because the flights are a little more hidden. So, yeah, it's exactly what it looks like. They are bringing in millions of people and then getting them to register without ID, which some say is to get them to vote, but others say the whole play is to get a ballot mailed to them that can be picked up by Democrats and filled out any way they want. Right. So Texas is certainly at great risk of going blue because of this scheme. Trump has an opinion about what to do if other countries refuse to take back the migrants. And Trump said, on day one, I will seal the border and will begin the largest domestic deportation operation in the history of our country, he says. And then he says, if other countries say they won't take them back, I will say, yeah, here they come. Hold on to your britches because they're coming back. He's the only person who could do that. He's the only person who could say the plane's coming. And then the other country, whoever it is, says, you don't have permission to land. And then Trump says, okay, well, you're out of NATO. What? Yeah, you're out of NATO. What? Okay, you can land. Right? Now, I'm just making up that out of NATO thing. But yes, of course. Of course. He will just tell them that landing is your best play because I'm going to totally fuck with you if you don't take these people. And everybody knows he would do it. Everybody knows he would do it. Like, it wouldn't be just a threat. He would kneecap them so hard. So, yeah, he's the only president who could deport anybody, if that's what you want. J.K. Rowling's becoming sort of a hero there over in Scotland because she was at risk of being jailed for hate crimes because she likes to say that trans people are their original gender, which is totally unacceptable. And so that's considered hate speech, but apparently the official word is that what she has done does not qualify. So there's no immediate threat to her, but she's actually said that if other people get targeted, this is what Rowling said, if they go after any woman for simply calling a man, now she's talking about the trans topic, she said, I'll repeat that woman's words and they can charge us both at once. There you go. There you go. That's how to do that. That's how to do it. Very good, J.K. Rowling. And J.K. Rowling, in that one act, did more than all of her books. I'm a big fan of her books. But this one thing is more important than all the other things. The other things were really, really good entertainment, like great entertainment. Really, really great. This is better. This is better. Yep. My respect for J.K. Rowling, very high. And by the way, I'm not even giving you an opinion about the topic. That's separate. I just like the method, right? You can argue about the topic on your own. All right. So the Mark Cuban saga just gets funnier and funnier. So it started with Cuban saying DEI was great and arguing that all it does is make sure you're looking harder to get all the great employees that would be overlooked in the people of color and woman categories and LGBTQ, I guess. He was eventually educated online while we all got to watch, which was tremendous. And by the way, I give Mark Cuban all kinds of credit for doing this in public. You know, I've told you that all good things come from people who are not embarrassed. He's like the ultimate not embarrassed guy. Because he seems to be like getting through this with no problem whatsoever. But my God, that would be embarrassing for anybody else. I think I'm the only other person that could get through something like this with no problem whatsoever. And it could be, some people have suggested that it's a big play so that he can get talked out of DEI in public. I don't think so. That's not my interpretation. I think what really happened is that he had a CEO view of what it was. And when he said that even if the CEOs say the word equity, that what they always mean is equity of opportunity, not making sure you have a quota. But Christopher Rufo showed the receipts and showed them in the company's own words and the CEO's own words, example after example of the CEOs do mean it exactly as having equal outcomes. It's very clear. They do not mean it the other way, and certainly not every company, but a lot of them. So, having learned that it is actually intentional, I think Mark still is of the sense that, you know, you could interpret it to mean equal opportunity. And he goes on to say that it's clear that DEI works great because in his companies, you can see it's really increasing his profits. Does anybody believe that's true? Even if it were true, do you think you could track it? Do you think, I hired two more black employees, so now I'm up to 13%. Whoa, look at those profits surge. Well, I'm pretty sure if you're hiring people based on their qualifications, it shouldn't matter too much what color they are, should it? How in the world is that going to make your profits go up? And I told you yesterday there was some study that said it didn't help at all, DEI. But I guess he's got to rely on that. He sort of had to retreat so far there was nothing left but absurdity. So he went to absurdity to imagine that you could track or that it would even hypothetically work. Hey, has anybody seen a company that thrived because they added diversity? And I'm in favor of diversity, by the way. I'm completely in favor of diversity. And I do think that it would give you greater insight into your customers, at least, you know, and your suppliers and everybody else. So, yeah, I think there's some amount of diversity that's absolutely a benefit. But if you force it, what do you get? You don't get the benefit of diversity. You get less good employees because the managers are just trying to meet their quota. And the only way they can do it is hire the people who apply. And if the people who are qualified are all applying at Google and Apple because those are better jobs, well, you don't get any. You don't get any. Even if you try really hard to recruit, they still want to work for Apple and Google because better job. Why would they take your job? Yeah. So watching Christopher Rufo win time after time again is really fun. I mean, the amount of skill and energy he's bringing to the fight, very impressive. Very impressive. And he reports that the University of Texas is closing down their DEI division. However, I think what's going to happen is red states are going to be closing down DEI and blue states are going to be adding it like crazy. So I don't think there's any net decrease in DEI. Do you? Like if you're in your little news bubble, you might think, because a lot of people are saying it, you might think DEI is decreasing. I don't think it is. I'll bet you if you measure the number of total DEI hires, I'll bet it's more this year than last year. That's what I think. Anyway, there was a gifted program in Seattle. They had to cancel them. Jason Rance is talking about this. So Seattle Public Schools canceled their gifted program because they had too many white students. Do you know who complained about it? The cancellation of the gifted program? Black parents. Do you know why the black parents were complaining? Not all of them, of course, but some black parents were pushing back, even though the reason it was canceled is because there was too many whites. Do you know why the black parents pushed back? Because those black parents had gifted children. and they just took away the gifted children program for the black kids because there weren't enough of them. So the ones that were there just lost their gifted program. Do you know what would be more useful for a black kid than being in the same program with other gifted kids of all types? Nothing. That'd be like the best thing you could ever do to a kid. Put him in a group of people, of similarly exceptional people. Number one best thing you could do. Best thing you could do. And they just took that away from the black kids in Seattle because it wasn't black enough. Wow. Well, the bird flu is coming. Do you mind if I just don't talk about this stupid bird flu that's apparently going to be our next pandemic? You're okay with that, right? Blah, blah, a cow had it. Blah, blah, a chicken had it. Blah, blah, a guy got it from a cow. The only interesting story about this is that there's a man in Texas who apparently got the bird flu from what they call contact with dairy cows. Makes you wonder. Was it because he was herding them? Was he herding them? And then he got the bird flu. Was he milking the cow? Was he milking the cow and he just got some bird flu? Was he making love to the cow? That's the only thing I need to know. Was it a stump-trained cow? All right, how many of you ever heard that? Have you ever heard of a stump-trained cow? I want to see how popular that is. Has anybody ever heard of it? There was a top manager where I used to work at the phone company, who used to have all of these old sayings, and I'm going to horrify those of you who have never heard what a stump trained cow is. It's a cow that will back up to the tree stump, so that the human who wants to make love would be the proper height. See, if you're already standing on the tree stump, you can't really get the cow where you want it. So the cow has to be trained to back up to the tree stump. So he used to talk about his coworkers being stump trained cows. It's kind of funny if you think of the Democrat Party being stump trained cows. Anyway, it's a good general insult. Now, if you say to yourself, how did that manager ever last in that job? Well, eventually that senior manager was walked out of the building by security. Why was he walked out of the building by security? Turns out he made up that whole story about having a PhD. He was a fraud. He was one of the top technologists in the phone company. His job, I think he was the head of R&D. He was the head of R&D. And he made up his credentials. They were completely made up. I remember watching I got invited to a meeting where we were going to learn about the telecommunications abilities of satellites, because that was sort of relevant to the phone company, because, you know, we needed to know all the parts of the system. So I remember going in, and one of the people he hired didn't know any more than he did. And so it was somebody who didn't know anything about satellites more than I do, giving a primer on satellites. And I was crying by the time it was done, because it was so obvious that the guy giving the meeting didn't know anything about satellites. The only thing he learned is that people who know a lot about satellites call them birds. So he kept referring to the satellites as birds to make it sound like he knew all the lingo. He goes, yeah, these birds are up there in the sky. They fly around the Earth in a geosynchronous orbit. That's all he knew. It was hilarious. Anyway. Apparently, Israel is killing Iranians wherever they can find them, except in Iran so far. Well, they've done that in the past. But the IDF assassinated this key Quds Force commander in Syria and Lebanon and other places. So I guess they've attacked Damascus and Lebanon. and even an Iranian embassy in Syria. And basically, if you're a top Iranian military person and Israel thinks you had anything to do with Hamas, they're going to get you wherever you are. So some people are saying, my God, this is terrible. They blew up an embassy to get this guy. But I'd like to hear their side of things. Like, are all embassies equal? Are they all off bounds and abounds? I don't know. How does that work? If you knew Hitler was in an embassy, would you let it go? I don't know. I don't know where the line is drawn there, but certainly it's an alarming development that it looks like escalation. On the other hand, it looks like it might be just power is the only thing that controls anything. And it's Israel telling Iran they're going to kill Iranians wherever they leave home. I think that's what's going to happen. The leaders, anyway. Well, ex-Trump lawyer John Eastman has been disbarred over his work with Trump about the January 6th stuff. And that there might be a whole bunch of other lawyers that have worked with Trump, maybe 100, that are facing similar problems. This effort to disbar all these lawyers, is it organic? No, it's being run by mega Democrat David Brock, one of their dirty trick people, and funded by Soros. And it's called the 65 Project, and it's basically a war on lawyers who help Republicans. All right. So, what do you think of that? I saw the suggestion, a few people have made the suggestion, that if Republicans don't respond with mutual assured destruction, they will never have another lawyer. So some Republican state needs to just start picking off people. But I don't know how that works with the bar, because the bar is its own process, right? The bar is not a legal process, is it? Isn't it a private process? So I don't know how you would make this work in a red state, because the bar is the bar. So it doesn't mean that they're going to go along with something like that. Good way to totally discredit the bar. Yeah. So now you've got an association that is supposed to accredit lawyers that turned into the thing that discredits lawyers. So that's not ideal. Wow. I don't know how many of these things can be reversed, but I could certainly imagine Trump doing an executive order to ban the bar. No, I don't think that's going to be a thing. But I don't know. This can't stand. Let me just say it this way. This can't stand. You can't let Soros fund a project to get rid of lawyers and take their livelihood away for doing completely legal things that you've found a way to make them sound illegal. Yeah, each state has their own bar. So, but does that mean that in Florida they would be conservative? I doubt it. I feel like the bar is always just going to be blue in every state. Am I wrong? I feel like lawyers are going to be 2/3 Democrat no matter where you go. It's a RICO case? Oh, it's a RICO case. Yeah, it's a conspiracy to, it does have a little RICO smell to it, doesn't it? Well, Trump says that November 5th, Election Day, will be Christian Visibility Day. Now he's playing off the Trans Visibility Day. The Trans Visibility Day, let me echo the people who say, that's the most absurd, insulting thing ever. There's nobody more visible than trans. It's the single most visible group in the entire United States. And maybe you've had enough. You know, maybe 100 LGBTQ holidays every year. Maybe it's enough. Maybe we all noticed. Maybe it's time to take the victory lap and say, well, now you noticed. We don't have to do this anymore. With all due respect, by the way. With all due respect, I don't need to notice everything. It doesn't help me. Anyway. There's claims that Israel is intentionally targeting aid workers. What would be the argument for that? Why would Israel intentionally target the people trying to bring aid? Because it makes Israel look good? No. Because it helps them win the war? I don't think so. I mean, what, are they trying to starve out the civilians so that they'll leave the area to make it safer to kill the bad guys? I don't know. I don't know. This one doesn't pass the smell test. There is video of people who don't look like combatants being killed by the Israeli military, but we don't know why they killed them. Have you seen the videos? And then the description says, oh, it's just some innocent young teenagers going back home or something, and then you see them get wiped out by a bomb. Well, how do you know they were just innocent teenagers? You can't tell by the picture. So here's what I would advise you. Don't believe anything from a war zone. Don't believe that, you know, one side is killing the aid workers, even if it's true. There's no way to believe that stuff. And to me, it doesn't really pass the sniff test, because I can't see any argument where Israel would be, you know, in their little secret war planning room saying, you know, what would really make a difference is if we kill the aid workers. Yeah, does that make sense? Like, yeah, I don't see it. Here's a funny update. Remember Amazon was testing these just walk out stores where there would be nobody to check you out. You just grab stuff and you just walk out. And their amazing technology would sense what was leaving with you, and it would just bill you based on knowing what you got. That was pretty amazing technology. And in fact, it was before we knew AI was out there. So, I mean, it was really impressive given it was pre-AI. Well, here's an update from Fat American Capitalist. That's the name of an account on X. Turns out that the way they were doing it is they had cameras and they had hundreds of low-paid Indian workers just watching what people picked up. there were people just watching them on camera. Say, all right, it looks like he went for the ivory soap. Ivory soap. And now he's looking at the noodles. Okay, cup of noodles. That was their technology. Indians writing it down. That great new. So it looks like they may have ended that experiment. So there's that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do a little experiment here where I see if I can end the main feed and just keep the locals people on. We'll see how that goes. Because we're going to go private, because the locals people get extra. They get the behind the curtains extra. There won't be any secrets today, but they get extra. All right. Thanks for joining. I'll see you tomorrow.